want to talk to you about vision for the next couple of weeks, and I want to take you back to April of 1990, before some of you were even born. A 30-year-old, yeah, thank you for that, yeah, at least someone thought I was hot once, yeah, but you laugh. A 30-year-old guy made a huge switch in his life. He went from being a pastor with a BC ambulance service, and through a whole bunch of things I don't have time to explain tonight, God moved me from a paramedic to becoming a pastor. And in April of 1990, I left what was comfortable and known to me, and my wife and my baby son, Eric, and I came over to Saanich Baptist Church, where I started as youth pastor. Now, why did I choose Saanich? Through a series of events, totally unsolicited, five churches had come to me and said, do you want to come on staff? Why did I pick Saanich? I picked Saanich because I felt God leading me here, and one of the reasons I felt God leading me here was the group of people at Saanich at the time were a group of people with amazing vision. 39 years ago this year, next year is our 40th anniversary as a church, and we are going to celebrate. But 39 years ago, a small group left Central Baptist Church, and they came out to the Royal Oak area of Victoria to plant a church. Their vision? To set up a church here in the Royal Oak area of Victoria that would bless this area with the gospel of Jesus, and then would go beyond this area to the city and beyond the city to the world. When Sylvia and I came in April of 1990, a group of 70 to 80 people were meeting in the Marigold Scout Hall. This group of 70 to 80 people had a vision to have a building so they could do ministry more effective. And so this group of 70 to 80 people undertook a $1.2 million building project. Folks, that's vision. That's vision. And in April of 1991, we moved into this building. We didn't have the second floor then, but we had basically most of what you see here now. And then we started to grow. Things started to happen. More and more families started coming to the church. And we just had that one hallway, as I mentioned, and the rooms filled up. And there was no room for the kids. And so our children's workers came to us and said, we're full. We have no room. What are we going to do? I was the associate pastor by that time, and Jack Glubker was the senior pastor. And with our great vision, we said, well, we'll put ATCO trailers in the back. And two elderly ladies came to us, and they said, pastors, your vision is too small. We need to build the second floor. Not so we'd build more bricks and mortar, but so that we'd have more room to raise up the next generation of Christ followers. And we said to them, we can't do that. We have a huge debt. We're a small church. We can't afford that. And they said, pastors, your faith is too small. We can raise the money and we can build that debt free. And these elderly ladies started to share their vision. And you know what happened? We built the second floor and we built it debt free. Paid for it cash. That's what vision does. And the vision, again, wasn't for a bigger building. It was to build up people in the name of Jesus. And I look back on 26 years of ministry, and it's been an amazing journey. There has been some real high highs, and there have been some low lows. That's why I have such gray hair. It's been incredible. And as I look out to the next 8 or 10 years, you're not getting rid of me yet. As I look out to the next 8 or 10 years, I want you to know, as I shared with the staff recently, I am not interested in sitting back and coasting. I'm here to build and lead a team that God can use to continue to build Saanich Baptist Church into a Jesus-glorifying, 6'8 living church that is transforming lives, impacting communities, and advancing His kingdom. Our mission here at the church, I want you to listen to our mission. Our mission is not to build a big church. Our mission is this. It's to inspire and equip people to live Micah 6:8 lives wherever they find themselves. And lately, I've been praying, Jesus, what does that look like for the next few years? Practically, Jesus, what does that look like? I've been asking God to give me a vision dump. And because Jesus has a sense of humor and would never give you a vision dump into your brain at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, recently I find myself in a hotel room and I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and Jesus had given me this vision, this practical vision for the future of Saanich. And I thought to myself, oh, I'll just go back to sleep and I'll write it down when I wake up in the morning. And I thought, no, I got to get up right now because I'll never remember it in the morning. And I got up and I just started writing what was placed in my mind. And I went and I shared the vision that I had with the staff. And they all said, we're in, let's go. I went to the leadership board and I shared this vision and they all said, we're in, let's go. And so I want to share with you over the next 2 weeks the details of this vision as we move into the future together so you have a chance to say, I'm in, let's go. So let's start. Look into the future. Look into the future with me and see a church of people whose heartbeat is to live 6-8 lives every day wherever they find themselves. Look into the future and imagine that. A church full of people who are living 6-8 lives, whose heartbeat it is to live 6-8. Now you may say, if you're new to our church, what on earth is live 6-8? Well, live 6-8 comes from the Old Testament verse, Micah 6-8, where it says this, he has shown you, O mortal, O human being, O person, O man, O woman, he has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Here's what God requires of us. Notice it, three things, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. When we ask God, God, what do you want from us? He says, there's three things I require. He says, I want you to walk humbly with me. We are to walk humbly with God every single day. Our feet are on this planet. Do you notice walk is journey language? In the New Testament, Jesus invited people to follow him. He said, follow me. That phrase is also journey language. The Christian life is an amazing journey with Jesus. We're to be on the move. Jesus doesn't want us to be stagnant. Jesus doesn't want it to be status quo in his life. He wants us to be on a journey with him. Now think about that. Think about this for a minute. Just think about this. We get to walk. We get to journey with the living God. How incredible is that? Amazing. Think about it. The creator of all things wants to journey with little you. Wants to walk with little you. Wants to be part of your life. Every day your feet are on this planet and beyond. That's incredible. I don't understand why everybody doesn't want to follow Jesus. What an amazing opportunity that we as human beings have, that we, the creatures, can walk every day our feet are on this planet with the Creator. And notice how we're to walk. God says, I want you to walk humbly with me. The word humility here means to not insist on one's own way, but rather do what God requires. In other words, we're to walk with Jesus from a posture of surrender. We're to say, Jesus, it's about following you. It's about living in your kingdom. You're the king. I'm a subject in your kingdom. I surrender to you, King Jesus, and I want to walk daily with you. And Jesus says back to us, I want to walk daily with you as well. Notice the second requirement, love mercy. The one who created the world, the one who holds the universe together, laid aside his glory and came down. Why? To serve his creation and set it free. Look at Mark 10:45. Even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. As Christ followers, we're called to follow that example. Thus, serving and blessing others should be a normal expression of what it means to follow Jesus. In other words, compassionately serving and blessing others should be a normal part of our daily lives. God said there's three things I want you to do. He says, I'm going to keep it real simple and keep it to three. I want you to walk with me. I want you to love mercy. And the third thing is, he says, I want you to act justly. And the reason we're called to act justly is justice is a key expression of God's heart. God is passionate about how the poor and the marginalized and the oppressed are treated. Thus, he calls us to act justly on behalf of the poor and the oppressed. Proverbs 31, verse 8 says this, speak up for the people who have no voice. For the rights of all the down and outers, speak out for justice. Stand up for the poor and the destitute. We are called by God to be agents of justice, people who care for and stand up for the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized. And church, I've got to say, I am so proud of the way this church has responded to the Mamunga family, our refugee family from Tanzania. Church, you have gone above and beyond. The team that has been leading the charge, the support team, and everyone else has just been amazing on loving on these people and welcoming them to Canada. And I just want to say thank you for doing that. That is so awesome. We are blessing this family. We are acting justly towards those who are less fortunate than we are. As Christ followers, we're called to be people who care for and stand up for the poor and the oppressed. And so look into the future with me. And imagine 1,500 people attending Saanich Baptist Church. 1,500 people whose heartbeat is to daily live 6-8. Imagine that. Imagine the impact that would have on schools and workplaces and government offices and sports teams and neighborhoods and families. Imagine. Imagine the impact that would have on the poor in our city. Imagine the impact that would have on marriages. I'm doing two tangents tonight. Here's the first one. Tangent number one. Sometimes I get really tired of going into bookstores and seeing books after books on marriage and how to have a better marriage. You know, people read them and their marriages don't get any better. People go to course after course and seminar after seminar and they write in their nice little pretty books, but their marriages don't get any better. Do you want to know how to have a great marriage? Let me save you a whole bunch of money, a whole bunch of courses, a whole bunch of stuff. Here it is. If you want to have a great marriage, do what God requires of you in your marriage. Put Jesus at the center of your life instead of being a selfish person. Put Jesus at the center of your life and become selfless towards your spouse. Walk daily with Jesus in your marriage relationship. Compassionately serve and selflessly bless your spouse. Act justly, live rightly in your marriage relationship. You do that in your marriage, you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Most of it will take care of itself. The problem is we seek all these other solutions about how to communicate better, how to do conflict resolution, how to do all this stuff. And the reason we seek all these conferences and books is because we don't want to surrender to Jesus. But when we surrender to Jesus, when we put him at the center of our lives and the center of our marriage relationship, when we're walking as a couple humbly before Jesus, when we're compassionately serving and blessing one another, when we're living rightly in our marriage relationships, you know what happens? God blesses that. Your marriage increases. Your love for each other increases. And you have a God-glorifying marriage that is an example to others and shines brightly about what Jesus can do in a relationship. So imagine a church where nobody's getting divorced because everyone's living 6:8. Imagine that. Is it possible? Imagine the witness that would be to the city. Here's another piece. Look into the future with me and see a church that welcomes and loves people as they are, whoever they are, embracing them in the love of Jesus. Have you noticed that Jesus had a posture of welcome for everyone, especially those who were normally excluded? He hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors. He drank with the outcasts. He touched the unclean. And here at Saanich, we want to follow that example. We want to love and accept people as they are, never expecting unredeemed people to live redeemed lives. In fact, we want to say to the business person and the student and the prostitute and the professional person and the working poor and the athlete and the family with a couple of kids and the immigrant and the single parent and the drug addicted and the refugee, the single person, the government worker, the financially destitute, those that vote Liberal and those that vote NDP, to gay, to trans, to straight, and everything else, you are welcome here. We want to do that. We want to be a church that welcomes people like Jesus welcomed people. Imagine, it's before the evening service and you're out there in the foyer and in walks a young businesswoman who's dressed very nicely. And you reach out and you grab her hand and you look her in the eye and that look says, you're welcome here. And then you turn around, and in through the other door walks an HIV-positive, sickly-looking drug addict. And you grab his hand, and you shake it, and you look him in the eye, and your look says, welcome home. That's the kind of church I dream about. That's the kind of church I want to lead. That's the kind of church Jesus wants us to become. Look into the future and see a church where people gather in groups all over the city. Groups that allow people to experience connection and care and community. Groups that learn together and pray together and live 6-8 together. Here at Saanich, here's one of our values. At Saanich, we want to get you connected into the life of the body at the level you want to be connected at. Here at Saanich, we want to get you as connected into the life of Saanich Baptist Church as deeply as you want to get connected. If you're happy just coming to church on Sunday and not being connected any further, we're good with that. Come. Awesome. If you want to get connected deeper, we want to help you get connected deeper. Now, the primary ways to get connected in this church are two. Number one, serve with other people. Serve internally within our ministries or serve externally with some of the people here that serve externally. The other way is through groups. We have a number of groups that meet all over the city. We have three types of groups. We have community life groups where people get together and they do life together and they pray together and they learn together. We have connecting groups that are really around affinity for certain activities. Like we have a hiking group that go out and they hike together and through that affinity, they do life together. We have serving groups that go out and their primary cause is to serve the city in some way. And people go out around the cause of wanting to serve, and that's how their group is formed. And we want to get you into a group if you want to get into a group. And Tammy Scully at SaanichBaptist.org, Tammy is our groups person, and she would be happy to get you into a group. Just email her, she'll get you into a group. Let me say this, though. This is important. We're not consumer-based here at Saanich, all right? We want to get you into a group, but some of you people are ridiculous, all right? I mean, I listen to some of the stories that come along, people saying, I want a group. It's got to meet at 9:32 on a Monday morning. It's got to be with 50 to 52-year-old plumbers, and that's all I'm interested in. Good luck. Like, you got to be flexible. Right? It's about getting together with people who are following Jesus and learning to do life together. And so you got to be flexible. Right? You got to say, I want to get involved and it isn't all about you. And so I want to encourage you to get into a group, but have some flexibility around that. And let me also say this. This is important. Tangent number two. Here it is. One of the ways we want people to be cared for in this church is through our groups ministry. In fact, the primary way we want to get people cared for in this church is through our groups ministry. We want people to be cared for here at Saanich by a group of people, not just one or two. And so we want you to get into a group so you can get cared for. So during that time of need, people rally around you. One of the things I love is I'll hear somebody's going through a tough time, and I'll catch them on a Sunday, and I'll say, how's it going? And they'll look me in the eye and say, you have no idea how my group is just loving on me and caring for me. It's amazing. And folks, that warms my heart, because that's the church being the church. You know what drives me nuts sometimes? It drives me nuts when people say, the church doesn't care for me because the pastor or one of the staff haven't visited me. That drives me crazy. And I'll say to them, well, have your friends in the church visited you? Yes. Are you in a group? Yes. Has your group cared for you? Yes. Then the church has cared for you. See, here's something we don't understand. We think the church is this building. The church is right here in these seats. You are the church. The church is people. The church is never a building. You are the church. And do you know it's unbiblical to expect the pastor to do all the caring in the church? Did you know that? Doesn't mean I don't care. Sylvia and I have been deeply involved with Tom and Sue. But it's unbiblical to expect the pastor to do all the caring. You know what a pastor's role is? In Ephesians it says the pastor's role is to get out of the ministry and equip the saints to do the ministry. The role of the staff, the role of the pastor, is to equip you, the church, to do the ministry to one another. So understand that the caring and ministry happens not just from a few, but from the many. That's so important to grasp, that the church is people. And if you're being cared for by people in the church, you're being cared for. Look into the future with me. And picture a church that has an ever-increasing number of groups. Groups that are meeting all over the city, in homes, in workplaces, in pubs, at the university. Not gossip groups, which often Christian groups can become. Not chip and dip Bible study groups. But authentic, transparent, life-connecting groups where people are doing life together, celebrating together, caring together, praying together, learning together, living 6-8 together. Who wouldn't want to be part of a group like that? Let me encourage you to get into a group and see how God will bless you and how you can bless others when that happens. Here's another one. Look into the future and see a church gathering weekly in multiple locations to celebrate Jesus, experience community, and have their lives shaped by the word. Now, I'm going to talk about the celebrate Jesus part and music next week. My wife said, don't you dare talk about music on Mother's Day. And I like my wife to be happy, so I'm saving that for next week. What I want to talk to you about this morning, or tonight, sorry, is the multiple locations. God is opening some amazing doors here at Saanich. Amazing. Our 9:30 service is packed. It is packed. It is beyond comfortable packed. In fact, we have people come and they don't come back because they can't find a seat at 9:30. It's a great problem to have, but it's a problem. And so as a staff team and as a leadership, we've been praying about, God, how do we create empty seats at 9:30? How do we put on a fourth service? What do we do, God? How do we deal with this? And in the midst of these prayers, a church from the peninsula comes to us, and they say to us, will you adopt us? And so for the last few months, we've been working with Centennial Park Baptist Church called The Well out on Wallace Drive. This is the church here. And they're right across from the baseball diamonds on Wallace Drive, if you know where Centennial Park is. Beautiful, amazing location. Small group of people who have been struggling. And they go, you know, we want to be part of what you're doing. And so we are in the process right now, folks, of working on adopting The Well so Saanich Baptist Church would be one church with two locations. Location here and a location out in Central Saanich. We've got a lot of details to work out, but it's an exciting opportunity to expand the kingdom impact of this church. And just to let you know, so you can be praying, May 22nd, I'm going out there. I'm going to be sharing the vision of our church with their congregation. Dave Harita, our director, our regional director for our denomination, is coming as well. We're going to have a question and answer. And then a few days later, I think 10 days later, they're having a business meeting, and they're going to vote on whether to become Saanich Baptist Church and whether they want us to adopt them or not. That is a great opportunity. From our point of view, it's an amazing opportunity, and it's a great answer to prayer because we'll be able to create some empty seats at 9:30 here at this campus. So be praying about that. It's a great opportunity. God is doing some amazing things. One more tonight, and it's this. Look into the future and see a church that has a dynamic, God-glorifying, life-transforming dream center in Vicente Guerrero. A dream center that is focused on blessing the poor in the San Quintin Valley through healthcare, food distribution, education, sports leagues, partnerships, and by equipping local pastors and their churches. If you're new here to Saanich, let me give you a little history on our church. Several years ago now, Granville Chapel in Vancouver was heading down to Vicente Guerrero. And Vicente Guerrero is a little village. It's 5 hours south of Tijuana on the Baja of Mexico. And Tom and Sue Card and some others from our church joined the Granville Chapel team that went down to Vicente, and they built a house for some impoverished people. Tom and Sue came back and they said, "Steve, our church has got to get on board with this. We gotta get down there and do some ministry." And so the next year, we sent our own team down to Vicente Guerrero, and we built a house. And as they say, the rest is history. We've built around 30 houses now. We've built 4 schools. We've done other ministry. We're developing amazing partnerships. It's been quite a journey. In fact, it was just a few years ago that Tom and Sue sat on this very stage, and they told our church that they were leaving Victoria to go full-time to lead our ministry in Vicente Guerrero. Tom was leaving his construction business. Sue was leaving her teaching job at Claremont, and they were going down because they felt called by Jesus to go lead this ministry. And they've done an incredible job. They have the messages I've been getting from Mexico after hearing of Sue's passing speaks of the relational connections and the depths of the love of people in that area of the world for this couple. And then a couple of years ago, Sylvia and I were at the Los Angeles Dream Center. I don't have time tonight to tell you the history of the Dream Center, but I'll tell you what the Dream Center is about. The Dream Center there's Anglo's Church and there's a Dream Center, and they're one and the same. There's church and then there's a Dream Center, which is the outreach ministries of the church. And it all started with Matthew Barnett having a vision for the Echo Park area of LA, a really rundown area. Eventually, they got an old abandoned hospital, the one you see in the picture here. And now today they have around 200 ministries out of that hospital to the poor and the struggling in greater Los Angeles. They have the largest food bank in Los Angeles. They do 1 million pounds of food a month. They have 14 key ministries. And Jesus is working through the Dream Center in powerful, powerful ways. When we were walking down there and walking around with Sylvia, I said, "Wow, that mobile medical clinic, we could do something like that in Mexico. The mobile dental clinic, we could do something like that in Mexico. Food distribution, we could do something like that in Mexico." Dream centers are all about ministering to the whole person. And in the process, as they minister to the whole person, they give the marginalized and the poor and the oppressed the ability to hope and dream again. And in that process, they're introduced to Jesus. And so after that experience, we came back and we started talking with Tom and Sue and others, and we were asking the question, what if we created a dream center in Vicente Guerrero? A ministry that would help impoverished people of the San Quintin Valley hope and dream again. A ministry that would show them Jesus in word and action. A ministry that Jesus could use to transform lives both now and for eternity. We started work that way. And I heard Tom and Sue's leadership's partnerships were developed. And then we started to pray for a base, and we said, what if we have a base? And then these buildings were given to us. They're in San Telmo. They're 30 minutes north of Vicente Guerrero, and they were built but never used. And some people came, and they said, we want you, Mission San Quintin, to take on these buildings. And so we had. Those are now our buildings in this area. And you know, God is opening door after door. Here's some really good news. This next week, hopefully it's this next week, it is Mexico. But this next week, Victor, one of our people down in Vicente Guerrero, is meeting with the government to talk about starting a food feeding program for children out of those buildings. And the idea is that soon Mission San Quintin will be feeding hundreds of children breakfast. Kids in this area, you know what they have for breakfast? A Coca-Cola and Bimbo white bread. And we're going to up that game for them. In partnership with the government and in partnership with the local church in the community who is going to staff and run this, we are going to create a feeding program so children are getting breakfast day after day, hundreds of them. Knowing the love of Jesus through being fed. That excites me. And then we continue to pray, and we said what we really need, though, is a base where people can go and stay, that teams can come, that we can do our ministries from as we think of creating a dream center. And if you've been to Mexico, you know we stay at the Irma Fennell Foundation base. And some time ago now, we started having talks with Irma Fennell. They, again, approached us. And we started having talks with them about leasing their base from them. And I'm here to tell you that in June, Mission San Quintin will have a base. The Irma Fennell base will become Mission San Quintin's base. And from there, we're launching what's going to be called the Irma Fennell Dream Center. In honor of Irma Fennell, an amazing lady who gave her heart and a life to the people of the San Quintin Valley who went to be with Jesus a few years ago. And so we are launching the Irma Fennell Dream Center. And from that, we're going to see exciting things happen. Folks, God is moving. Our regional director, Dave, said to me, Steve, when you get the Irma Fennell Dream Center going, I want you to make a video so I can ship it out to all 105 of our churches and encourage them to get involved with what you're doing in Mexico. One of our board members, Mission San Quintin board members, was talking to some folks in Alberta, and they said, we used to go to Vicente Guerrero, but we stopped. But now that we know that you're starting the Irma Fennell Dream Center, we're coming back. We want to partner with you. It's like a wild ride, folks. Grab the surfboard. God is doing something. Let's get on the wave with him. I mean, look into the future with me and see a church that has created a fully functioning dream center that is blessing the poor of the San Quintin Valley through healthcare and food distribution and education and sports leagues and partnerships and equipping local pastors and their churches. A dream center that is being used by Jesus to transform lives both now and into eternity. That's something I want to be a part of. I hope you do too. Church, Jesus has invited us to partner with him in restoring lost, broken people, in restoring lost, broken communities. We get to be part of that adventure. We get to be part of that journey. And church, God is giving us some amazing opportunities, some challenging opportunities, some kingdom opportunities, opportunities that are going to push us way out of our comfort zone, which is good because God doesn't want us to be comfortable. And church, we're on an amazing journey with Jesus, a journey that will see people going all in to live 6-8, a journey that will see the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized blessed and set free. A journey that's going to see children in Vicente Guerrero fed and educated so they have a better future than their parents. We're on a journey to help the lonely and the hurting find community. We're on a journey to see the rape culture in Vicente Guerrero, which is almost 100% lowered to at least 50%, if not eliminated. That's the journey we're on. We're on a journey to see this city transformed, and I'm going to speak more about that next week. We're on a journey to see people find Jesus, see many people find Jesus. It's an exciting journey. It's the journey of following Jesus into the future he has for us, both individually and collectively. And my question is, will you join us on the journey? The staff have said, we're all in. The leadership have said, we're all in. Will you go all in? I'll share some more next week.